Let me invite you this morning over to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, knowing the truth that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. So Lord, we pray and ask you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide us this morning to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. May you be honored and glorified. And Lord, may you bless our lives to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "The Man of Sin Revealed." The Man of Sin Revealed. There's a lot that can be said about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of opinions that are out there about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some, believe it or not, believe that he's already come. Can you imagine that? He's here on earth. And there's a lot of problems with that theology. It's, first of all, it's all wrong, and there's still sin that is prevailing and all different kinds of crazy things that are taking place. But this morning, we just want to take just a few moments here and consider this portion of Scripture that deals with the second coming of our Savior and also what it means and what's going to come just before that takes place, so that we're not soon shaken in mind. There's a lot of things that people can say that can shake our minds. There's a lot going on today that can trouble us, but the Lord doesn't want us to live in that plane. He wants us to live by faith in Him, that He provides for all of our needs. It's not a good testimony for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to be soon shaken, shook up, or tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, woe is me. Look at what's going on in our nation. And our nation is flipped upside down, and our nation is having some troubles. But praise God, He's in control.
Now, whether or not we walk in that truth, that's another story. That's what the believer has as an opportunity to them to that each day thank the Lord for this day. Things may not be going your way in the morning. You may wake up and you might have all different kinds of problems. You might have all different kinds of obligations. But can the child of God still, in spite of those things, praise the Lord?
Amen.
Amen? Why? Well, first of all, your name is written down in heaven. Will that ever change? Your destination is eternal life because of the righteousness of Christ. That will never change. You're going one day to a place where maybe loved ones have gone on before, and you'll see them again, but the greatest blessing will be that you will look into the face of the one who took your place and died in your place that you might have life. Wow. What an amazing hope you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that hope is not a hope-so hope. It's a no-so hope. Because God substantiated that the day you got saved. There should be no denying, and I'm just going to tell you this. Everybody's salvation experience is a little bit different. But everybody ought to walk away with this idea. I believe it's God's plan and intent. If you got saved, you know that your sins have been forgiven. Some say, well, I've experienced the free pardon of sin. I've experienced that weight or that load removed off my back. That's undeniable. An experience. Now, there are other people that haven't felt it or seen it that may be in opposition to that, but that does not change the experience that you had with God. God also, and by the way, that is just the beginning of the potential of experiences that you and I can have with God. Do you know, you might find this hard to believe, do you know that God wants you and I to experience Him every day? Not just in the mornings. In fact, does God want us to walk with Him? Did God say that we should follow Him? So if we're in the business of following Him, well, there's all kinds of experiences every day throughout the day that we can experience. His peace and His promises in our life that ought to change our petitions to praise, our prayer to praise and thanking the Lord. And so God has given to us and seen fit to put in the complete canon of Scripture everything that we would need to keep us next to the Lord. Amen? Now, the only problem is that we're also of this earth, and we also have the option, because we are free agents, believe it or not, we are free agents to follow either the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, and we can choose this day what we'll watch and what we'll listen to. And I will tell you, the devil is a crafty, cunning serpent. He will use the things that can be used for good for evil. He can use, now listen, I will tell you, and you know this, there's a lot of evil on the internet. We ought to just steer clear of all of that, but we ought not let the things that are good on the internet or on the cell phone to distract us from companying with the Lord each and every day. Because that's where our stability comes from or should come from. Not what the stocks are doing. If your heart follows the stocks, my goodness, you're like on a roller coaster. And you'll never get off that one. And that's not where God wants us. God wants us where He holds us in His hands, and we have the confidence that He supplies how much of our needs? All of our needs. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's look at a couple of things here as we consider our text this morning. First of all, I want you to see a plea concerning the return of Christ and our gathering to Him. And then secondly, I want you to notice the guard against deception. And then lastly, we'll take a look at a good hope through grace, a good hope through grace. So notice with me, if you will, the first two verses in chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at this plea concerning the return of Christ and our gathering together with Him. So notice verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, so he's speaking to believers here, and this is the Apostle Paul being moved by the Holy Spirit to write this letter, and he says this, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together to Him. So what's the subject matter? The return of Christ and our gathering together with him. Now, some people have this philosophy, and that's theirs to choose, but I want you to know that the child of God has not been appointed the wrath of God. Do you believe that? The child of God has been exempt from the judgment and wrath of God. So God has removed that from us. There's coming a time during the tribulation period where God is going to be judging those that are on the earth. Now, there'll be some that have not come to the age of accountability, that have not trusted the Lord, or maybe haven't heard, and they will have an opportunity. But all those that have heard will not get a second chance at that point. You'll see that here in the Word of God. But I believe the child of God, and I'm going to tell you, this is my belief. I think the Scripture bears it out, and I'll point to it here, and you make that decision, and it wouldn't cause me to split hairs with somebody who believes this. Ready? I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins and saved my soul from eternal death by putting my faith in what he did for me. They're on their way to heaven, whether or not they understand or have the same end time doctrine that I adhere to, okay? We can differ on that, but we cannot differ on eternal life. I can differ with a lot of people on a lot of different things, but I cannot differ with them concerning the beginning, the foundational structure, if you will, of eternal life and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not for debate. If you believe you've got to be baptized for eternal life, you misunderstand the Scriptures. If you believe there's something that you have to do, you've missed what God has said, because God said it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. No bragging rights. Amen. When it comes, it's true, just humility. And that's it. And thankfulness for what God has done. So notice this, we're talking about the return of the Lord. Notice this, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. You know what they thought? Listen, they thought they missed the second coming of Christ. Is that not clear right there? So if they thought, and Paul didn't say, oh, no, you guys, we got to go through the tribulation. Some believe somewhere in the middle we're going to come out. Some believe we're going to go all the way through it till the end. And I want you to know, Paul is addressing the Thessalonian church and saying it hasn't happened yet. Why? Because they believed that any time the trump could sound and the shout and we'll be gathered together with the Lord. And so that's why I believe, and the Bible says that we've not been appointed unto the wrath of God, but unto salvation. And we thank the Lord for that. And that's the work that he did. So notice again, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand, that it's already taken place. So this is Paul beseeching or pleading with them, don't be soon shaken. Don't be caught up with the news that you're hearing. That would be good for us too, wouldn't it, today? Don't be made afraid by the news that you're hearing. Stick to the good news, amen? None of that's on the internet. Somebody will say, well, the Word of God's on the internet. Well, that's the good news. Amen? That is the good news. It comes from God, not the world. And so Paul is beseeching them, pleading with them, that they be not soon shaken or troubled, that the day of Christ had already passed them by. He says, don't worry about that. Then the next thing he says, I want you to protect against deception. I want you to be on guard against deception. Is that good word? Is that wise counsel? Be concerned about deception. Paul told the Roman believers that the Satan, the devil, and his angels, they're looking to devour and to destroy us. And he was telling the believers, don't stand in your strength, but have on the whole armor of God that is necessary that you might be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the plots or the plans of the devil. You can't do it on your own. Well, I don't see the devil. My goodness, he's everywhere. And he's loose and running rampant and destroying people. He is. In their hearts and in their minds, he's destroying them. May you and I not get caught up in that. Do you know, listen, God wants us to be kind to those who are not kind to us. And if we're not careful, we can try to stand against things with the right intent, but the wrong power. God does not want us to yell at anybody or argue with anybody or point fingers at anybody, but he does want us to stand for him by his mercy and by his grace. You know why? Because the ones that stand against us are ones for whom Christ died for. And he wants them to come to eternal life. But how will they do that if we're shaking our fists at them? We're no better than they are. And God has saved us to be a peculiar people, to be different, to change us. Listen, to be like Christ, to be like him. Now, listen, God does not want us to do that in our energy or in our power, but in his. So let's look at this here as we consider that. Guarding against deception, and we can't do this either in our strength. Look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you. So he's concerned about these believers being deceived. And by the way, listen, Paul wrote this to the believer at Thessalonica, but he also, God put it in Scripture for believers of all time. And so from this point on that the letter was written to the Thessalonians, God intended it to be written to you and I as well. So he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Now we want to look at this and understand this falling away and understand that the man of sin is going to be revealed. And this is, there's a semicolon there. Did you notice that? He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. At the end of the word perdition there, you find a semicolon. And that is used to join two independent clauses or two complete thoughts that could stand alone as complete sentences. So, for example, we could say, we had too many fumbles, we lost the game. That didn't all transpire at that moment. We had too many fumbles throughout the whole game. How long does a football game last? Could last a couple hours, can it? Right? And so as it goes on, the end result was they lost the game. So don't get this idea that when he packs all of this information here in verse 3, that it all happened continuously right there all at the same time. There's a process of time that's involved here, and you're going to see that here. So he says, let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, I just want to look at this falling away. He's talking about believers falling away, becoming apostates. They once adhered to the truth, adhered to it, and then they left. Now, that is happening every day in our nation, in our nation specifically. How do you know that, Brother George? Churches, real churches, churches that preach the truth are closing down all the time. They're shutting down. So we could look at it that way, but I'm telling you, I don't know that we've seen the falling away yet. I think, listen, Christianity is going to come to the place to where it's not acceptable. I'm talking about true Christianity. Not people who say, you believe that you have to do something for your salvation. Well, you're a fellow believer. Are they? Somebody told me this, that somebody got on the radio and he was preaching, and here's what he taught. Well, you know, we don't believe the same about salvation. They believe that you can lose your salvation. I don't believe in that. And they believe that they have to do something for their salvation. I don't believe in that. But I believe in God's mercy, and God's going to be merciful to them, and they're going to be saved they're saved anyway. This is on the radio, so be careful what you listen to. Is that true? No, it's not true. Because there's only one way that you receive the mercy and the righteousness of God, and that's through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That is by putting your faith completely in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got in your mind that you've got to do something to keep it, first of all, that's a miserable existence concerning eternity. That's miserable. And by the way, what is that thing you've got to do? And what is that thing you can do to lose it? Isn't that amazing? It's not in the Bible because it's not true. That's a fiction made up from the heart of man. And the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Do you believe this? The Bible teaches in the book of Isaiah that our righteousness, not our sins, our righteousness are as filthy rags. Do you believe that? The best that you can do. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? Many will say to me, but Lord, Lord, this is what I did for you. This is what I, he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They were doing good things. Well, bless God, we fed the poor, we clothed them, we did. Where's God? Where's God? Not in that picture. Because what God did for us was everything. If you put your hands on it, you've marred it. We've marred it. We can't do it. The only righteousness that I have, even at this moment, is of God. Do you know that in my flesh, I can try to do a good thing? God says, I don't accept it. As a saved child of God. And by the way, it will come to nothing other than if God is merciful and I preach the word in the process that he might bless that. And he does bless his word. We know his word doesn't return void. But if I do that in my strength, if we serve God in our strength, we're missing out what God is wanting to do. And we're not going to experience him other than knowing this, as Peter did, that he was saved. He was saved. But oh, he was going to do great things for God, wasn't he? I mean, my goodness, he was ready to die with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened when the trouble arose? He denied him, didn't he? Three times. And what brought him back? The mercy and grace of God. Tell the disciples, I've risen. Oh, and I don't think he said it like that. He made sure, and Peter too. I'm going to call him out by name because he's feeling pretty low right now after denying me three times. And the Lord received him how? With wide open arms. So as we consider our text here, not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. There's going to be a falling away, I believe, from those who really believe in the truth. Now, I've already heard it. Maybe you have too. If you believe there's only one way to eternal life, you're pretty narrow-minded. I mean, that's a little bit prideful, don't you think? No. That's kind of exclusionary, isn't it? It's not my rule. It's not mine. I'm not the one. It's God's word. And by faith, yeah, if you... Listen, did Jesus suffer reproach? Did the world hate him? Did he say, if it hated him, it will hate you and I? Are we to hate the world? No. No. We're to be merciful as God was merciful to us that brought us out of the world. So in the spirit of Christ, in the love of God, yes, there is a difference between the truth. Because there's not just a truth or your truth or my truth. There is only one truth, and it's God's truth. There is no other. There is no other truth. There is only God's truth. Do you think the world likes that? Not today. Not today. Those are fighting words. I don't want to fight with the world. I have to proclaim the truth because it is the truth that sets us free. They have to know that they are in opposition against the Lord. What kind of a witness or a testimony would I be of the truth to say, oh, you can have your truth. I can see you having your truth and I have my truth. No, because that kind of garbage or doctrine will condemn people and not give them a chance of hope. If they actually believe, they have to walk away from me thinking, well, maybe I might be wrong. And bless the Lord, the Holy Spirit will accompany our testimony for the truth. And help them to at least ponder the idea that they might have it wrong. I promise you, nobody can be steadfast unless they're standing on the truth. They'll walk away, even though they may be, in fact, listen, why do you think people that have these crazy ideas get so irate? Why do they get so irate? Because the conviction. Conviction. It bothers them that you don't condone. They can't stand. When somebody is wrong, they can't stand you telling them they're wrong. But the Spirit of God teaches a child of God to have a teachable spirit. Why? Because humility is there. Is it in the world? No, it's pride. The spirit of the world is pride. Because they are, as we were, just in case maybe somebody misunderstands, just that because they are, as we were, children of our father, the devil, who is a liar from the beginning and a destroyer. And he was prideful. And what happened to him? God kicked him out. So there's going to come a falling away. Verse 4, notice this. In fact, look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. The day of the Lord's return shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man, specific man of sin, be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, he's going to give us a list now as we consider this idea of guarding against this deception. Now he's going to put some things out there for us to see that are going to be taking place. And they don't all happen at once. They can, but they don't necessarily have to happen all at once. So it could happen that, my goodness, there might be one great day where there's a great falling away throughout the whole world concerning believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the man of sin be revealed. But I want you to know something. It doesn't have to happen like that. It could begin to happen, and then that man of sin not be revealed that same day. It might be that same week. It might be that same month. Might be even the same year. But we're not given that information, and that's all right. And notice this here in verse 4. Now it's giving you some ideas of who he is. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. You would say with that, my goodness, there's a lot of these people out today. But this is a specific man. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So specifically, he's going to be in this temple that's going to be built. And he's going to sit in it and stand in it to divide and to deceive people. That's his job. And he's saying, don't listen, I want you to know these are the things that are going to be taking place. Now, as we consider this, he says in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So obviously they forgot, right? He says, I told you these. How important is it to read the Word of God? We are not just prone to wander, we're prone to forget. And so this was already given. He says, I want you to know, I told you this. Now, if they were in the spirit of the world, how dare him tell me that? He's making me sound like I'm not listening or like I'm not smart. But they don't say that. They're listening and they're taking in, and we'd say, oh yeah, how many times did the Lord tell the disciples things that they had forgotten until the resurrection? How many times did they not understand what the Lord... Listen, because God is bigger than we are. The world does not see God as God. They might see God as a judge and they get this attitude. Who does he think he is? Well, he's the creator. He's the reason you're here. And what did they do with that? Well, we're going to believe something else. Well, you believe it all you want. Because one day, you will stand before him. And one day, I think they will see. I don't think they're going to do it begrudgingly. When they stand before God and they kneel and they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, I don't think they're going to do it begrudgingly. I think the presence, follow me, of God and the salvation of our Savior is going to be so powerful that they're going to break down and say how wrong they were. It'll be too late. They're going to, in reverential respect, acknowledge God. Sometimes people are pretty hard-hearted, but sometimes something happens that brings them to the end of themselves. That will be this. God will, when they stand in the very presence of God, they won't be able to help themselves but to say, yes, you are God. You did love me, and I, in my prideful self, rejected you, and you are God. And you are Lord, and they will confess it before their judgment. They won't do it begrudgingly. They'll do it because the light will have come into their life, as it's trying to now, but they're rejecting it because of pride. And by the way, if you're here and you believe that there's something you're doing for your salvation, you better talk to the Lord about that. And for whatever you think, listen, Jesus Christ died for all of your sins. And fathom this thought. If you think there's something you have done that God can't forgive you for, you're saying your blood was not enough. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I have done something that you cannot do or fix. God, who in eternity past, before you and I were ever thought of, knew everything we would do. And eternity past, before we were created, he already knew we would fall and prepared his son to be the price. In eternity past, that's his plan. So here's what we're saying. Ready? You're wrong, God. I know better. Oh, my. There are people that believe that they cannot be forgiven for their sins. They're telling God, you're not right, God. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what I've done. I don't think you know who God is, for sure. For sure. Because God knows everything. Even before we were born. You know what that? You know what's keeping you? Pride is keeping you. Enough pride to say that God's wrong and you're right. Is it not? You better humble yourself and say, forgive me, God, for the way I thought about you and your son who died for me to give me eternal life. And if you think that there's something that you're doing to get you saved, show it to me in the Bible. You'll not find it. I'll show you where it's a gift of God. I'll show you where it's not of works. I can show you that. I'll show you it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why are we here this morning? That God might be glorified in you and me. How would he do that? By setting us free. He died for me. I can praise the Lord. That glorifies God. I have received his mercy. Do you know what he wants for everybody? To receive his mercy. Does the Bible not say, not what we think, not what we feel? For God is not willing that any should perish, but that how many should come to repentance? Oh, it's all. Isn't that amazing? That includes everybody. So the only reason why somebody would not be included in that is because they stiff-armed God, and he being the merciful and beloving God lets you make your choice. But it's your choice without knowledge of the truth of who God is that's merciful to everybody. And that's a sad commentary. And maybe God would say, come on, and you'd say, oh yeah. Let me lay off these chains that are binding me down and have given me no hope. Let me let go of all these things that I think about, that I think I'm right in, and let me let the Son of God set me free indeed. Why? Because he loves you and me. So he says, don't forget what I've told you. Remember verse 5, ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now watch this. And now, at this present moment, he's going to reveal to us the withholding. These are details of the timing of the man of sin and his revelation. Now, we saw in verse 3 that there's going to be a falling away and then this man of sin. But now you're going to see some details here in verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth. Remember, because he told him. He says, verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know, he's reminding them of what they know, what he told them. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Who's going to be revealed? The man of sin. All right? So what's this holding here? Verse 7, he says this, for the mystery of iniquity, of sin, doth already work. It's already deceiving. It's already working. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Well, my goodness, who might that be? The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Well, how will he be taken out of the way? How big is the presence of the Holy Spirit on planet Earth? He indwells every believer. Wouldn't that be a neat way to take the presence of the Holy Spirit away? The trumpet blows, the shout is made, boom! In the twinkling of an eye, all the believers are gone, and the Spirit of God with them. What an amazing thought. And then, verse 8, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Does that mean as soon as we're taken, he's coming back to do that? No. There's 7 years of tribulation. Even him, verse 9, in case you wondered who he was, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to perform some things that are going to cause people to wonder. There are things that are already at play on planet Earth that people are involved in that they don't even realize is demonic works. And they are scary things that are happening. And so these things are already taking place. And then I want you to notice here as we consider this, this is the work of Satan. And that is ultimately to reject the truth. Look at verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They rejected it. They're going to be deceived when that takes place. Right now, we've got until the Lord comes back to continually share the gospel of grace with those who don't know the Lord. To receive them and taste for themselves how good God is. Until that time, but once this takes place, those who have heard the truth are going to believe the lie. Did you hear me? Those that who have heard the truth and rejected it are going to receive Satan open arms. So watch this now. So when Satan comes on the scene again, and this is the last thought of this point, the result of rejecting this truth, look at verse 10 again, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, this is the cause, they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they, 50%? That they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Doesn't look like anybody's going to get saved that has heard the truth and rejected it at that time. At that time. God penned this down so you and I would understand. First of all, the rapture is not taking place. But when it does, literally all hell will break loose on planet Earth. Now, with this thought, we go to our last thought here, and that is a good hope through grace. And that is found here in verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification. How? Listen to this. Of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That Spirit is capitalized, so you know it's the Holy Spirit. It's His work. He's the sanctifier. All we have to do is bring the mess to Him to fix. It's that easy. Here's my life, Lord. Work on it. He wants to. But as long as we're going to say, I'm going to try to do better, I'm going, who's working? Is God working? Not if it's me. Whereunto, verse 14, He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory. Listen. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to glorify Himself in you and I. I mean, it's in the Scriptures. I'm not making it up. Well, it's not working, Brother George. I'm just going to throw in the towel. That's no way to succeed. Ask God to help you understand it. Is it not a truth that God has purposed and called us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Did we not just read that? Did we read that? That's two of us. Did we just read that? So if it's not working, what shall we do? How about ask God? Lord, this is what you said. It's not working in my life. That's okay. He's the fixer of all broken things. Lord, I need you to fix it. And the beginning of the fixing part, you know where it happens? Right up here in our understanding. Until we can understand and fully grasp that it's his work, we don't move forward from that. Verse 15. Therefore, brethren, because he's chosen us to salvation, and then he's the sanctifier in verse 13, and it's of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, and that we are called to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14. Therefore, that's why therefore is therefore, because of that truth that you've just received, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Hang on to those things. I don't believe believers know to hold on to those things. We're holding on to everything else we think, and we're missing out what God has already said. And in verse 16, now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us almost everything, and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Did you see what he just gave us? Now, because of that, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So, how are we comforted when we see it happening? You mean God can turn me from my sins? You tell me. Amen? He can remove those thoughts. You just have to believe that he can. Just give him a little bit of faith that God can. Isn't that amazing? Instead of thinking he can't. You're going to get anywhere with that? Is that faith? You can't do it, God. You can't do it, God. Well, my goodness, if somebody was like that with me, tell me I couldn't do something, what do you think I'd start to believe? I couldn't do it. Does that put any faith in God when we say, you don't know me, God? Really? Really? You don't know what I'm going through. I think we don't know God. And so God is saying, it all begins with our understanding of who he is. Is that not the case? Is he the Savior? Is he the Redeemer? Is he the giver of all good gifts? Is he the one that said, guess what? I've chosen you to glorify me on earth. He's the one that said it. Bring it to him. He's waiting for us to bring it to him. Fix it. He already fixed eternal life. That is really where it all begins. But there is so much more that God wants us to have. So very quickly, and we're finished. Verse 16 again. Now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, that's now, and hath given to us, that's now, everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, now, comfort your hearts, yesterday, tomorrow, now, comfort your hearts now, and establish you in every good work. When? Tomorrow? And work. Every good word and work. Tomorrow? Do you see what we're missing as believers? God is saying, I've got so much for you. I just need you to seek me in it. But here's where the problem is. Ready? Believe it or not. Right up here. With our understanding. Until we understand that it's now. And that he's the doer of all good things and wants to do it. If we don't have that understanding, we will never leave our blessed assurance. We'll just be, I'm saved. Bless God. I'm failing in every other area, but God's grace could at least save me. I promise you it can do a whole lot more than salvation. And salvation's a lot. It's where it all begins. But there's so much more. Do you need peace? He doesn't just want to give you peace because peace is in Jesus Christ. Do you want joy? Where does that come from? It's God. He is all in all. Is that not what the Bible says? He is all in all. You know what we're doing? We're asking God for this and asking God for that. And God says, you're missing the big thing, big picture. You've got me. If you'll have me. You already have him for salvation if you're saved. How about for everything else now? Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? It is his invitation. It's our opportunity. We can leave it, or we can say, God, help me and show me and teach me that you might glorify yourself in me as you've purposed me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds to correct our understanding. Lord, there might be somebody here who has the wrong idea about eternal life and for whatever reason believes they can't be saved. Only you can straighten that out in their minds, that today they might see that you are the Savior and that your blood can cleanse from all unrighteousness and everything we have ever done or thought. And it begins there. And then, Lord, your children, we have marooned ourselves on an island of unfruitfulness because of our belief and understanding of who you are. You are the Redeemer. You are the one who sanctifies and sets us apart and empowers us to be witnesses of your, not ours, your great grace, your great love. May you open up our hearts and minds to see that and to call upon you to fulfill that in our lives. Bless the invitation. Lord, may you be glorified. And may you bless your people, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.